Jonathan, the Patriots get to go to a lot of great places. But in my opinion, one of the best road destinations is, if you're a pure football fan, is Kansas City.
It's pretty awesome. Lamar Hunt, when the AFL and the NFL merged and he had to come to Kansas City, it was a town, I think, that was just crying for Major League Football, NFL football. It's in the heart of passionate college football fans, and Lamar built something here that was pretty special. I think Arrowhead was way ahead of its time. They've renovated it a few years back, and the atmosphere, it's really special, and it's the one place outside of the Northeast where you see an incredible tailgate culture too. So you drive up to the building and you feel like you're driving up to Gillette, or you know, like you're going up to Heinz in Pittsburgh, or MetLife, or FedEx Field. It's just an awesome, awesome environment. And unfortunately, on game day, it can be incredibly loud and difficult to play in. But it's Lamar Hunt is really the godfather of the modern day NFL. Without him, I don't believe the AFL-NFL merger happens. The Super Bowl isn't called the Super Bowl. I think a lot of the competitive and economic policies that are the foundation of the leagues were really his. So we were just talking with Clark, Lamar's son, and who oversees everything now, and just talking about how hard it is to come into this building without thinking about Lamar. And when we were founding Major League Soccer, it was Lamar and ourselves who wrote the original operating agreement, and we had some of the meetings right here in this building. And so it's a very, very special place, and this crowd's very loud. So hopefully we get on top of them tonight and shut them up a little, because it's a very hard place to play when they're energized.
Yeah, and some changes on your offense, specifically on the offensive line. Don't know if the rotation's going to continue, but boy, it's been a long time since we've seen the offense get into as big a rut as they have been in so far this season, John.
Yeah, it hasn't. It looked good in preseason, and that's why when we're in preseason, and I always tell you guys, I think you want to look at individuals as opposed to the whole team in sync, because you get into the regular season and so much can change. And I think that a combination of a lot of different factors that are new and different, it's taking us some time on offense to get in sync. I fully believe that we will, and it's nice that we can be 2-1 in spite of some of the struggles we had. But I'm pretty confident that with Josh leading it from the coaching side and Tom on the field, that we're going to be fine. And tonight will be a nice test under really adverse conditions to see if we can get it in sync, and I'm pretty confident we will.
Hey, Jonathan, can you help us with something here? Because Zoe and I are taking calls on the flagship station every day, and you know, when the offense struggles, the natives get restless. You know, not spending money at wide receiver, you end up moving Mankins. You know, what's going on with the offensive line? Can we go get someone at the deadline? People look at the cap space and they say there's room there. How come they're not using it? Can you help everyone understand the cap situation and why it is the way it is? Because a lot of people want to know why there's either money left over or how much there could be there if in a couple of weeks at the deadline you guys decide that you need a piece.
Sure. I think going into the weekend we had about 11 million and change, maybe 11.3, 11.4 of cap space, which is a higher number than we would usually have at this time of the year. I think what probably isn't as well known is that we have a number of players on the team who have incentives this year that would have normally been likely to be earned incentives, meaning they would count against this year's cap, but are not likely to be earned incentives, primarily because of games missed last year. Because when you have playtime incentives and roster bonuses tied to a certain number of games for guys like Wilfork and Mayo and Vollmer, who missed so many games last year, incentives that would have been likely to be earned, meaning they were at a level that you had achieved them the year before. Because those guys missed so many games, and I'd throw Amendola in there too, a bunch of incentives that would have been likely to be earned are not likely to be earned incentive. What that means is if you don't have cap room this year, it hits your cap next year. But we know that there's probably going to be at least six and as much as $8 million of not likely to be earned that are going to be earned this year. So that 11.4 of cap room in reality is probably, call it $4 to $5 million of cap space, which is probably right where we would like to be at this time of the year, to be able to sign a guy that comes available on the street that you need because you think he's a good player or because you suffer injury and you need to put a guy in IR and sign people up. And the last thing I'd point out related to that is we have $8 million of that 11.5 of cap space, or 11.4, that was actually rolled over from last year. So when we knew that was going to be an issue in this year, and you roll it over and take advantage of it like that. And my guess is by the time the season ends, we would have approximately $2 to $3 million of cap space left, and whatever it is will roll over into next year. And if we ever did some major extension before the year was over, that number would probably be dramatically less. So maybe that's a good snapshot of where we are right now.
Okay, now I apologize if I didn't get this right, but say you're talking about the $8 million that you rolled over to this year. Can you roll that over again to next year?
So in other words, if we hadn't rolled the $8 million from the end of last year, and we knew we were going to have a lot of, as the season went on, we saw what was happening. Guys weren't going to earn incentives last year. We were managing a lot of cap issues then anyhow, so we rolled that over into this season. And of that 11.4, that approximately 11.4 of cap space, 11.3, $8 million of it was from a rollover from last year. Otherwise, we'd have three and change right now.
But you can't roll it over again. I mean, you can only roll over once.
We can. We'll be able to roll whatever cap space we have at the end of this year. We'll be able to roll it into next year. It will not go to waste. But what looks like what looks like a big number really isn't. And yes, if you wanted to roll not likely to be earned incentives into next year, you could. But then that's just going to put handcuffs on you next year. We know, right, in reality these are going to be earned. So we want to account for it now so that we go in next year being able to look at the free agents on our team that we want to sign and other places that might be available, or with one or two veterans that we might want to do extensions on. There's just a lot of different things that happen. So on the surface, it might look like it's a bigger number than we normally have at this time of the year. But Wilfork, Mayo, and Vollmer missed significant portions of last year. And that took, we signed them to either prior contracts before last year, or in Vince's case, a contract that's based off of his performance levels last year with incentives this year that are not likely to be earned incentives, but we know we hope they get earned and likely will be earned, and we have to account for that.
Jonathan, can you talk a little bit about the new substance abuse policy that the league and the union agreed to a week ago? I know we've held off talking about it with you until it was official. Now that it is, what can you tell us?
I tell you, it's getting loud here, Gresh. I think you asked about the new substance abuse policy.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. It just got a little quieter.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest thing, I think, that comes out of this policy, the two biggest things from the public's perspective are, one, for the first time ever, we're going to be the first professional sports league that tests for HGH. And that's something that was a part of our collective bargaining agreement from 2011. And it's taken a couple years to negotiate the fine points and the details with the union. But starting really in the next couple weeks, we will be testing for HGH with a blood test every week in our locker room. And if a player is found guilty of using HGH, it'll be right off the bat a six-game a six-game suspension and fine. If there's a second violation, it'll be 10 games, and a third violation will be a two-year ban from the game. I think there were a number of other changes. I think the most talked about one is that marijuana violation, a test for marijuana, the substance, the amount of the substance that needs to be in your bloodstream has almost tripled. And now there's many more gradations of punishment. So people were talking about what happened to Gordon in Cleveland, and I would argue that those were our rules, and he knew he was in the program and being tested. But we've now made marijuana its own class of restricted substance, so that the penalties are a little more modest, and you really have to test positive for it five times before the really, really harsh penalties come into being. And lastly, I would say a DUI gets you an automatic two-game suspension, which is something that hadn't been in place before. And then a second offense for DUI is going to get you an automatic eight-game suspension. So those are some of the highlights. There are a bunch of other things that were done, including now all appeals will be heard by a third-party panel arbitrator system as opposed to being adjudicated by the commissioner. Those are the highlights. But we're excited. We think it modernizes the substance abuse and performance-enhancing drug program and modernizes it in a way that puts us back at the forefront of this issue.
Jonathan, thanks for explaining everything. A lot of stuff on the table, from the salary cap to the substance abuse. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game. It's a great environment, and hopefully it won't be too loud.
Yeah, hopefully we walk out of here with our eardrums tonight. Take care, guys.
All right, President of the Patriots, Jonathan Kraft.